Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Back in studio, Brendan Riley hanging out with us. And I know in Hour 1, we are talking about the Cowboys, looking for answers, looking for solutions. But you know what? Let's talk about the Browns. I mean, how concerned should the Browns be about Baker Mayfield's performance from Monday Night Football against the 49ers?
We talked about it a little bit last week, too. I think that the situation with the Browns, much like the Cowboys, the hype was more than deserved. I don't think the Browns as a team should be considered. I think they still got a lot of nice young pieces. They're not the AFC contender that some thought they were. Baker, yeah, there's some concern there. He hasn't looked good this year. He did have an interception, though, back on Monday night that wasn't on him. You know, it hit the receiver's hands. Looked like it could have been a touchdown and then popped into the air. It's five games. I wouldn't be too worried yet. More than even making the playoffs, though, I think if you're a Browns fan, what you want to see is Baker Mayfield figure it out.
Okay, so in your mind, who is the best team in the AFC North? I mean, the Ravens are 3-2, but the Browns are 2-3.
I think the AFC North is a mess.
The Steelers are 1-4. Like, what?
Well, not only that, I mean, no Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph just got absolutely, I have a word to use what happened to him last week. I think it's a division race between the Ravens and the Browns, and I think the Ravens are the better team, but we just saw a couple weeks ago, the Browns beat the Ravens pretty handily.
That's right.
So if I had to answer, I think the Ravens are better. I don't think it is a lock the Ravens win the division.
How optimistic are you about the Browns this weekend getting back on track? I mean, they faced a good team in the Seahawks.
Yeah, no, I don't see it.
Glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting you ready for a slate of games this weekend. NFL, Brendan Riley with us. And what particular game on the this weekend that are you in particular looking forward to?
I mean, I'm a Lions fan, and that's the Monday night game. So Detroit, Green Bay easily is number one. If I had to answer anything else, Rams 49ers is interesting. The 49ers, okay. Are they for real? And the Rams look like maybe they've taken a step back. So that's arguably the matchup for that division. Obviously, way too early to say that, but very interesting one.
Okay, coming your way, Hour 2, we have got some fantastic guests. Stick around. James Hale is going to be with us, Total Sports KREF, and we're going to continue the conversation with you ready for OU Texas. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, presented to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hard to believe, already week 7 of the college football season. The conversation is going to continue. It's a special time of year for a number of reasons. Certainly looking forward to OU Texas, LSU Florida. And right now, we're going to head out to the ACC. We are delighted to have with us tonight, first year as the offensive coordinator for the Tar Heels, and that is Phil Longo. They have had an impressive season. They are 3-3 with their overall record, 2-1 in the ACC, and it's good to have you back on the show. Good evening, Phil.
How are you, man? It's good to be back. I appreciate the invitation.
Hey, it's great to have you on, and I know you're probably, midway through the season, looking forward to this bye weekend so you guys can get refreshed mentally and physically?
Well, we've had six, and as I mentioned to you, I usually don't look forward to and like bye weeks, but this has given us a great opportunity maybe to get a little bit healthier for the second half of the season.
Okay, Phil, so here we are, through the first 6 weeks. Give us your assessment of how things are playing out for the Tar Heels, the first half of the season. What do you think?
What I like is we're 6 weeks better than we were when we got started. And, the best thing about this program is our head football coach, Mac Brown. He's got a template and a plan for just about everything that comes up. And, you just learn and never question it. You just say, look, here's our situation. This is the obstacle or the task at hand. And he pulls out the plan and we follow it and it gets done. And so it's been a six-week process. We're 6 weeks better than we were. And I think we're getting healthy and we are gelling right now on both sides of the ball. And I think we're perched in a really good place right now to take on the second half of the season.
Phil, you mentioned head coach Mac Brown. We're going to talk some more about him here in just a moment, but certainly one of the big reasons for the Tar Heel success is that you guys have got a quarterback of the future, and that is Sam Howell. He has been so impressive. When you look at his stats, a total of 16 touchdowns through six games this season, so many positives.
Well, Sam is a unique guy. He's very similar to the quarterback I had at Ole Miss last year in Jordan Ta'amu. He's extremely poised.
Okay.
And really, really calm under pressure. You very rarely would ever know if it was 40-0 we're down or 40-0 we're winning. He's kind of the same, even keel, poised guy all the time. And it helps him out on the football field. And so, as a true freshman, it's pretty impressive to see how he handles things so maturely, being so young. And then, on the athletic end, he's very talented. He's got a great arm. He's got good mobility. And he's done a great job learning the offense.
North Carolina's offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Yeah, we're talking about his quarterback, Sam Howell. And, just kind of give us some insight. It seems like his demeanor, his disposition, he's unflappable. But how have you been able to get him comfortable? I mean, as you had just said, he's a true freshman. I mean, this is a big stage, and the expectations are very high.
Well, I think when you have a younger quarterback, and we may not have been quite as aggressive offensively early on. I didn't ask from a play-calling standpoint as much from Sam as I do now. But the whole approach to the offense is to keep it simple for these guys, and that's not just for the other 10, but it's for the quarterback as well. So I think, and we really believe, that when you keep it simple, these guys can go play instinctive football, and that's really where Sam is right now. He did a great job of learning the system. He's kind of directing all the other kids now. He knows where all the players need to be, and I think when he snaps the football, there's a high level of confidence in what we're running because he knows it so well.
You're listening to The Voice. Phil Longo, offensive coordinator for the North Carolina Tar Heels, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. And it's interesting. I mean, Phil, you've been on the show a couple of times. You have coached some amazing quarterbacks throughout the years. And so kind of shed some light on, how much fun are you having working with this, freshman quarterback and maximizing his potential and seeing it just kind of all come together and come into fruition?
Well, I feel very fortunate and very blessed to have had, so many good quarterbacks, and I don't say they're good because I have them. I've just been fortunate to get some really intelligent, committed guys that want to learn the system. And Jeremiah Briscoe could throw the ball just about anywhere. Jared Johnson could do the same. Tamu at Ole Miss and Shea Patterson when I had him at Ole Miss.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're all just they're very talented, but they're very committed and very focused on learning the system. And I do believe that the offensive system is geared towards making things simpler for those guys. And so you get more out of them earlier in the learning curve, I believe, because we're not asking as much from them. Sam will be the next installment there.
Okay, we are in the ACC. We're talking about North Carolina. Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, with us. Just a few more minutes tonight, SB Nation Radio. It's interesting, coming into the 2019 season, when we talk about the quarterback position, it had not been solidified, and, it was pretty competitive. So what did Sam do that made it clear in your mind and head coach Mac Brown that he's the guy to lead the way going forward?
Well, you know, we had three in the spring, and I think, you know, two guys kind of separated themselves a little bit. And, you know, we brought all three into August camp, still competing for the same job. And things started to separate a little bit in terms of arm talent. I think that was the first, probably the first area that Sam started to separate himself from the other two. And to Jace Reuter's credit, he knows the offense just as well as Sam. So the two of them really battled mentally and were right there neck and neck. I just think at the end of the day, Sam has some tremendous arm strength. He's really, really accurate. And he did a really good job of kind of commanding the offense early. And ultimately, that's why he was named the starter.
You know, when we step back and we look at how the season is playing out for the Tar Heels, listening to head coach Mack Brown in post-game, I mean, he talks about some of the mistakes that have been made, but this is a team that is finding ways to win. They're stepping up during the stretch, and they're making those plays. And in the past, it hadn't happened. I mean, they'd blown leads, and they'd had fourth-quarter meltdowns. What's the difference?
Well, it's hard to compare because I wasn't here with the group that was here before. And I have a tremendous respect for the former staff. And for the players that went through, you know, the last 2 years here where they struggled a little bit. But he is, you know, Mack is a phenomenal visionary. He's able to define the plan for the kids. He's able to develop the culture that you want. He kind of sets the expectations. And really what he tells the players is this is the way it's going to be. And you either get on the train or don't be a part of it. And so they really don't have a choice. Plus, they believe in him.
Right.
You know, he's sincere, and they know that. Yeah. And they know that he cares. And so they're willing to get on the train and do whatever he says. And so the staff feels the same way. And so right now we've got a football team that's played 24 quarters. And they fought for 24 quarters. We haven't felt like we've had any type of effort let down whatsoever throughout the first six games.
So what is it like for you personally to have the opportunity to work with one of the all-time great coaches in Mack Brown and, you know, to see him get that first win, you know, with the Tar Heels again? I mean, and how emotional he was. I mean, he's pretty special.
It's been an honor, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. If you had asked me a couple of years ago, Name 8 or 10 things you want to do before you finish up your career the next, you know, 12 to 15 years. What do you want to do? I would probably tell you that getting an opportunity to work with Mack Brown would be on that list. So to be here and to be working for him and to, you know, experience and learn something new from him just about every day. I mean, I've never been in staff rooms with a head football coach where so many experienced coaches are sitting in the room and they're still taking notes when the head coach is talking. And that's just a credit to Coach Brown and the way he does things. And obviously he knows how to run a program and he knows how to win. He's done it everywhere. And, you know, he's getting it started here in North Carolina.
That's right. Well, we wish you guys continued success. We've got our eye on you. A true honor to have with us tonight here at SB Nation Radio. And that is the offensive coordinator for the Tar Heels, Mr. Phil Longo. Phil, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure. Y'all have a good night.
You bet. Much more coming your way. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. We'd love to hear from you. You can always send us a tweet. We're live at eRadio Sports. Info, eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And we have to pause and recognize the folks that make it happen. We appreciate O'Reilly Auto Parts. Did you know that 1 out of 4 batteries will fail this winter? Get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly's has the Superstar Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, I was talking about this in hour one. We're going to completely shift gears and do a crossover on this Friday. We're going to talk some NHL. Let's hit the ice. The preseason's underway, so we're going to talk about the New York Rangers and back in action. They will be on Saturday night. So joining us, veteran Newsday hockey writer. He's an author. He's an award-winning journalist. He has impressive credentials. His new book is New York Rangers, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Rangers. And that is Mr. Steve Zappe. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. How are you, Alyssa?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to our conversation. And I guess let's, you know, before we highlight your book, let's preview the season. There was a flurry of off-season moves that made the Rangers relevant again. Give us the who and the what and the why.
Well, you know, as we say in New York, the Rangers kind of have one foot on the platform and one foot on the train.
Okay.
You know, a year and a half ago, they said they were going to, you know, get rid of a lot of veterans and go with a fresh start and rebuild with youth, which sounds great. And as you know, in sports, as almost any sport, you know, nobody can guarantee how long a rebuild can take, whether it's football or basketball or whatever. But that all goes great. I think fans in New York are ready to watch some young players. The funny thing is, new team president John Davidson, you know, is preaching patience. But then during the season, during the off season, the team went out and traded for a defenseman, Jacob Trouba, who and they gave him a $56 million 7-year contract.
Wow!
They also signed a free agent, a terrific player from Columbus, by the name Aaron, signed him for $7 million. For $81 million for 7 years. That's not exactly your classic rebuild. It seems like they're trying to accelerate the rebuild. Now the problem with that is, you know, it those guys are young, but they're not rookies. They're not under 21. They're not under 23. The Rangers going into the season have 8 players under 23. So they're going to be one of the youngest teams in the league. But as I said, they're kind of in a transition. You know, can they make the playoffs this year? Maybe. Depends on the division. Are they also trying to rebuild for the future at the same time? Yes. So you're kind of, as I said, you have one foot on the platform and one on the train.
Okay, Steve, so you talk about the additions. Of course, the Rangers, they were the number 2 pick in the draft. So how much better are they going to be? What's your projections?
Well, they've won the first 2 games, and as you mentioned, there's a game 3 today on Saturday. So, you know, I think it's very possible that a good start will help. Again, and almost any start, any good start for any sports team is good. They have to avoid some injuries, though, because they don't really have a lot of depth, you know, in the minors. They have a lot of players that didn't make the team in camp, and if there's major injuries, they're going to have to rely on them, and that's not ideal. You know, Philadelphia's got a good team this year. Washington has plenty of weapons coming back. Carolina, who I think will win their division, is formidable. I think they've started out 4-0. Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby is always good. So, you know, the East and specifically their division is going to be pretty rugged. You know, I think the Rangers at best are probably a playoff bubble team.
And, of course, the strength of this team is youth. I mean, they've acquired a lot of young players. 13 of the players on this roster, when we look at the composition of it, are 25 years or younger. They got some babies on here.
You're right. And that's the way many sports are going, too. You know, the average age now, you know, we used to be a lot of players in their 30s, particularly in hockey. There's not that many anymore. I would say the same thing in the NBA, below the NBA has always put a premium on college players, where in the NHL, of course, you're usually playing in the minors before you, so to speak, graduate, you know, into the pros. But, you know, it's difficult, but the league is changing, and I think the management made a good decision to do this. But how long it's going to take, who knows?
What do you think is the formula for success and the keys to building a powerhouse? What, because for the Rangers, their biggest rival is what, the Calgary Flames?
Well, no, I wouldn't say Calgary because they're in the Western Division, but I think you have to get through the East first. So
Okay. Their
biggest rivals are really the Islanders in New York, New Jersey Devils over across the river here. So they're more regional rivalries than in Calgary. But anyway, their strengths are probably, you know, they have a terrific number one center this year who they traded for a few years ago, Mika Zibanejad, who is they got from Ottawa in one of the better trades, really, in the history of the franchise. Water start. He's growing. He's still young as well, mid-20s, which, again, is the standard now for players coming into their prime in hockey. Goaltending, they still have Henrik Lundqvist, who has been terrific in the last 10 years. The 10 straight years the Rangers have made the playoffs behind his guarding the net. That, I think, is one strength. They seem to be they'll seem to have more offense this year, I think, with Panarin, with a bunch of other players, Chris Kreider, the number two draft pick, as you mentioned before, his name is Kaapo Kakko, who's a Finnish player. But he's only 19. You know, again, you can't tell. As you said, these are babies when it comes to, you know, prowess. They're all athletic. They're all skilled. But you can never tell in an 82-game season. Second longest in sports. The NBA is 82, right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, some young fellas. Hey, you're listening to The Voice. Steve Zappe is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's an award-winning journalist, and he has covered it all. But right now, he has just released his new book. It is titled The Big 50, New York Rangers, and it offers a living history of one of the hockey's most iconic franchises. So when our listeners, we love our friends at Triumph Books, they really deliver some of the best. What are they going to find? And some of the stories that you wanted to share.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, the Rangers have had a franchise in New York for over 90, I guess this will be the 93rd year or something like that. So it's always difficult to put together a project like this because some of it's, you know, your own opinions on players and the best moments. You know, I want to point out that this book really isn't like a list, you know. It's not just, you know, okay, these are the best 100 players in Rangers history. I think it's important for fans, old and young, to remember moments in the Rangers history as well as pick out players who made an impact, you know. And the ranking from 1 to 50 is pretty much, you know, a personal as it should be for all fans, you know. Right. You know, they're not favorite players, but they're players who made an impact. Players like Andy Bathgate, who I ranked as number 12, and I called him the Lone Ranger because he was a terrific player, a forward who led the league in scoring in an era when Gordie Howe was there. Terrific players, and the Rangers were just terrible in the 60s. But he, you know, He still ranks among the league's top scorers, even after all these years, and you know, being out of the game. But he really was the Lone Ranger. If they had won something, and you know, and even if he was with another franchise that had won in those years, whether it was Toronto or Montreal or Detroit or Boston, there'd be a statue of him outside the arena. Not in New York. I write one segment about the 1950s Cup Final, which was the last time the Rangers had been to the finals, and they hadn't. And you know, when they won in 1994 with Mark Messier and Mike Richter and Adam Graves and all those great players in 1994, the 1950 final closest. They lost in the final game by a goal, and Chuck Rayner, the goalie, said, "Gee, you know, if I had only stopped that last shot, there wouldn't have been a 54-year drought for the fans in New York." And if you think of that, it's one generation of hockey fans who hadn't experienced anything like, you know, getting to the mountaintop, you know, in 1994. So there's stories like that. It's moments. It's players, and I think it's entertaining.
And also, we were talking about rivalries. You provide some insight on the storied rivalry with the Islanders and why fans identify so strongly with the organization.
Well, I think, you know, oddly enough, you know, there are a lot of Ranger fans that live on Long Island, which is, you know, very close. And they were an expansion team while the Rangers, they were sort of always the little brother to the Rangers when they first started in the mid-70s. The Rangers had already been a long-established team playing at two different Madison Square Gardens, old and new. And they were an upstart team and actually won four consecutive Stanley Cups, you know, at the end of the 70s and into the 80s. And the Rangers' rivalry really developed around that time. The feisty team, feisty fans, great atmosphere at the games, just one of those classic New York rivalries. It doesn't really happen with the Yankees and Mets. They don't play together, you know, against each other enough, being in the American League and the National League. The Knicks and, let's say, the Brooklyn Nets now, they really given the games. And the Giants and Jets hardly ever play each other. So this used to be, you know, 6-8 games a year, and then maybe a playoff round, which were brutal. You know, I mean, it was a tougher game back then in the sense that there were, you know, players that were willing to drop the gloves and mm-hmm. smash sticks and come away with scars and blood and everything else. The game's gotten a little tamer. It's gotten a little faster. It's gotten a little younger, as we talked about. But the rivalry still exists. Both teams are coming back.
The men and moments that made the New York Rangers the Big 50. And, of course, our special guest tonight has been award-winning journalist Steve Zappe at SB Nation Radio. Steve, listen, thank you so much. Congratulations on your latest release. And we look forward to another conversation. Enjoy the season.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2. SB Nation Radio, the Big Esports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, info, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Always want to recognize the folks that make it happen. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hard to believe it is already week 7 of the college football season, and we're going to highlight one of the best rivalries in all of sports. An 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow, Oklahoma. They are 5-0, first in the Big 12 Conference. Texas 4-1, and third in the Big 12. And so delighted to welcome to the program, we know him well, my dear friend James Hale, the host of Total Sports, KREF, from 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. Check him out, sportstalk1400.com. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good. And to the rumor that you're putting on your pom-pom OU uniform and coming down to Big T to entertain us all?
Oh, boy, I don't know who you've been talking to, but that would be quite a sight for sure.
Well, you know, hey, you were, you know, and I don't know if people know you were a great basketball player at OU, and even though you're a reporter now and you play it down the middle, I know that you have a little soft spot for the Sooners, no question about that. And you said this is one of the greatest rivalries, and everybody could debate what is the greatest rivalry in college football. The Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama, those two programs hate each other, and the hatred in that game, from what I understand, is absolutely intense. Then you have Michigan and Ohio State, that every year is such a big battle. USC and Notre Dame are going to play this week. I always think that is a tremendous game. You've got Florida's involved in a couple. I mean, you've got different games, but there's no game that's split down the middle where both teams travel into a city and play a game like this. The hatred is here in this rivalry as well. The history runs so long, over 100 years, that I just don't think there's a better college football game than this one. I think the fact they play now in a conference game has made it a little bit of a has changed the attitude just a little bit. You know, but I'm telling you, it is really a super game to watch and see. And it's fantastic, no question about it.
It's a tremendous matchup, and it's one that you have covered for many, many years. You know, when this time of year rolls around, I mean, what do you look forward to the most watching Oklahoma and Texas?
Well, I still love going to the game. I still love the fact the crowd split. I still love the bus rides for the teams coming in. I still love the fact that, you know, equal fans are walking from both schools are walking around the fair. The 11 o'clock kick, I've gotten used to that. I'm okay with it. Everybody always talks about, well, what would it be like if it's at night? Well, it would be probably pretty cool, but it's pretty cool at 11 a.m. This is where the networks want to put it because they say this is where the big game goes, and I'm okay with it because there's a lot to do in Dallas at night, right, E? So,
oh, yeah.
You know, after the game, you can go out, win, lose, or draw, and it's always better when the team wins, of course, but, you know, you get a chance to go out and see what's up. So, I just love the game, the intensity in the game. I think both teams try to downplay it a little bit because it is a conference game, and if both teams take care of business, they're going to play again in the Big 12 championship game. But that's no guarantee. There's so much parity in the Big 12 conference, but they did it last year, and I thought that was weird, so to speak, to see the two teams in Jerry World at the end of the year. But that's, college football's changing. And at least OU and Texas still get to play this game, even with all the changes in college football. And I hope they always get to, and I always hope they're at a neutral site. And I don't care if it's at the Cotton Bowl every year. Jerry World would be fine with me, but this is where it's
Host of Total Sports host of Total Sports KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, James Hale is with us. He's actually in Dallas tonight. That's right. He will be there for that 11 a.m. kickoff, Oklahoma, Texas. So, James, I can't believe, I mean, I tell you, the season has just flown by so far. What has Oklahoma shown you through its first five games?
They're a very professional college team. They go about their business, and no matter who they're playing, they attack that team in the same professional way. I think a part of the reason why they've become so professionals because Jalen Hurts is that way, and they've taken on the personality of their quarterback, who won't accept compliments. He won't let people talk negatively about his team. He keeps the steady course, and he says the same thing all the time. Hey, we need to get better. We need to execute. We need to take steps to get to the next level. And I'm good with it. I really like Jalen. I think I get along with him pretty well. I don't really know him very well, you know, but it's been interesting to cover him because he has maintained this same approach through every game and through every spring practice, through every fall practice. He hasn't changed at all. And the one thing that he said that was telling, he said, I've got one shot with this group, one shot, and we've got to make the best of it. He goes, I just don't want to leave any stone unturned. I just don't want to leave any possible advantage we have back in the meeting room. I want to execute it. I want to get it out there. And that's what's really cool about this team. It is a professional team. They go about their business. They're never satisfied. They feel like they got to play better. The one thing I can say, I think the defense is better than last year. Is it ready to be a top-10 defense? I don't know, but it's 38th in the country. And going into this game last year, OU was not 38th in the country in defense. They are this year, and they're attacking. They're going downhill. They're aggressive. They're running after the ball carrier. It's really been a fun defense to watch. So, but Oklahoma's been an interesting team to cover this year because they're keeping so much to the vest. They're just staying focused, and we'll see how that translates in a game like this in the Cotton Bowl, in such a rivalry game, and we'll see how that translates, you know, Saturday in the Cotton Bowl.
You know, it's interesting because that was one of the big question marks coming into the season for Oklahoma is, you know, how much they would improve defensively. What is the Sooners' level of concern for Texas's offense?
Well, Sam Ehlinger, you know, Ehlinger's, can you believe he's played in four games already against OU?
I know.
I mean, that's
wow.
Amazing. Yeah. He's a junior, and he's 2-2 against OU. He's gotten better every year. He's improved every year. Kudos to him. That's the mark of a good, solid athlete that, you know, he gets better every year. Now he's completing almost 70% of his passes. He's a guy that, you know, is a tremendous runner downhill, and you got to love that. Colin Johnson's a 6'6 receiver. Epps is 6'3. DuVernay is a 10-400-meter guy. So they've got assets. Ingram is a solid running back, and they've got a lot of skill guys that are really good. So this is a talented football team, a talented offensive football team. I don't know if their offensive line's as good as it always is, but, Ehlinger, his ability to run downhill, his ability to be a winning quarterback, they believe in him. You know, they believe that it's going to work and he's going to make it happen. So they've got a solid offense. They've got an offense that is commendable that you have to try to not give up big plays. You can't let Colin Johnson, you know, get downfield. And not only that, those big receivers, they come back and block downhill. And the Sooners' defensive backs are not very big. And I think this is going to be something to watch. When they come back and try to wall off those defensive backs, if OU's defensive backs doesn't fight through that, then you're going to see Ehlinger and Ingram and those running backs, they're going to get outside the containment. And that's bothered OU some this year. So that's going to be something key to watch. Can Oklahoma defeat the blocks of the Texas wide receivers, and can the defensive backs still make plays at the line of scrimmage like they've done in the first four games, this year, five games?
What is your assessment of how good the Longhorns really are?
They're not as good as they were, and I think that is I think that's apparent. You know, they've got, you know, they've lost two defensive backs. They had eight starters that they were replacing from last year. And now they've lost two of their starters. And Stearns is a great player. The fact that he's not going to play in this game, that's an advantage for Oklahoma. You know, they still have quality players. I mean, B.J. Foster's a really good player back there. I think Texas is good. I was disappointed they lost to LSU. I thought that they would win that game at home, but they didn't. That put LSU on the map as far as one of the top teams in college football. You know, so I think they're good. They're very capable. They can win this game. There's no question. If they win it, they're back in the college football playoff talk. If they lose it, they're probably in it. So this is a huge game for Texas. They have to win this game to remain relevant in college football this year. And believe me, Tom Herman to have them ready to play.
Oklahoma has been dominant over its first five opponents. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you believe that Texas is giving OU respect? I mean, what are you hearing?
Well, there's one team trash-talking. I mean, OU's not trash-talking at all. And that's what I'm talking about, OU being a professional team. They just keep practicing, and the only thing they'll say is, well, we'll see them in the Cotton Bowl at 11 o'clock. I've always liked a little trash talk in the Red River rivalry. Have a theory? Come on.
Uh-huh, okay. Spice it up a bit.
Come on. We need the Boz back. And,
right.
You know, we need Spencer Tillman to be talking about the elephant fence that he used to get into and things like that before this game. I miss that. I really do. But that's the way it is in college football. Lincoln Riley is not going to let his team throw out any bulletin board material. And he's not going to give away any trade secrets before the game hits. So Texas has been a little more open-minded, and that's interesting. Tom Herman, they've been a little more vocal with the media. And we'll see which one works. I mean, I think OU's a better team. I think OU's played better. OU has done what they're supposed to do. In every game, they've been heavily favored, and they've hammered every team. And that's all you can do. Everybody says, well, OU hasn't played anybody yet. No, they probably haven't played a great team yet. But the teams they've played, they've hammered those teams, and that's what you do when you're playing teams you're supposed to beat. Texas has the one loss. They had a marquee game against LSU. They failed in that game. Now they have another one, and we'll see which team comes out on the right end of the stick in this one.
You know, James, you're a big recruiting guy, and of course, if you aren't following him on his Die Hard Sooner Report, check him out, Patreon page. James, tell everybody where they can connect with you on that. Some great recruiting information and just daily updates throughout the day.
Well, all you got to do is Google James Hale Die Hard Sooner Report. It'll take you right to the site. You become a patron, and for as little as $5 a month, you know, you can enjoy 4 to 5 short podcasts. I don't believe in 35, 45, 50-minute podcasts all the time, except on your show, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're always rocking and rolling, and they archive this thing. We can hear this thing 6 years from now, which is going to be great. And that's something really special that you guys have going. But, you know, as far as what, you know, I'm doing, it's three to 4 or 5 minutes, and it's on various topics in all OU sports, but a lot of football, a lot of recruiting on it. And I have a lot of fun with it.
Well, you pride yourself in being a recruiting guru. So talk to us about, you know, the 2019, the class that came in. Who are some of the Sooner freshmen that are really standing out and making a name for themselves?
Well, Jaden Davis is a corner out of Miami, Florida, that's already worked his way into the rotation at corner. Pro Football Focus says he's the third best corner playing in college football today. Now, that's an analytical look at it. I don't know if Jaden, you know, he's not even starting at OU, so can he really be the third best corner? I don't know, but he's really, really good. Also, Marcus Stripling and Corey Roberson, they're in the rotation in the defensive line, so you'll see them out there, on Saturday, and they're playing very, very well. David Owabu at the rush linebacker is a 6'4", 232-pound freshman that's in the rotation at the rush linebacker and is a very, very good player. On the offensive side, Jaden Hazelwood, one of the four guys that came in that top-rated recruiting class in the country, he's playing a lot for OU. And Trajan Bridges and Theo Weiss and Austin Stogner at tight end, they're playing a lot too. And Stacey Wilkins at left tackle, because OU's, you know, they've lost their two starting tackles in this game. And whether or not Ely can come back or not, that's a question mark going into the game. But Stacey Wilkins is a good, solid young freshman that knows how to play tackle. He has an understanding how to play tackle, and he's a good football player, and he's another freshman that is playing quite a bit.
The College Football Conversation continues with James Hale from Total Sports after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back, Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let's continue to get you ready for one of the biggest rivalries of all sports, and that is Oklahoma-Texas with James Hale from Total Sports. I got to get a quick hit. Let's talk some more about Jalen Hurts. I mean, 26-2 as a starter for Alabama. He helped, you know, guide Alabama to two national championships. Do you think the Crimson Tide, that they're kicking themselves, how did they let him get away? I mean, he's at the forefront for the Heisman.
Well, they would be if Tua wasn't so good. I mean, Tua's good. I understand why they made the move that they made. At the time that Tua came into the program, he was just a better thrower, better passer than Jalen. To Jalen's credit, the 1 year that he was the backup, his junior year at Alabama, or third year at Alabama, he went to work. He worked every day on throwing the football. You know, he actually had an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach. He's been in college football 5 years, and he's had five different offensive coordinators. That's tough for anybody. Yet, the last two he's had, you know, especially Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, he's learned a ton. And what we've seen is that we got a very athletic player in Jalen Hurts who does have the ability to throw the ball. And Link is getting that athletic ability out of him. So he's really good, and he's impressed me. You know, when he was at Alabama as a young player, I always said I didn't think Jalen Hurts could beat Oklahoma because he couldn't throw the ball. Now, without question, you know, he throws the ball well enough. He can beat anybody, and he's winning. Draft. I didn't think he was going to be a draftable quarterback as a freshman, but he is now. And don't be surprised if he's not a late first or second round draft pick, or if he keeps progressing, he might be even been a mid round first round draft pick. He's become that good. So credit him. He works hard. He's gotten better, and he's intelligent. He's a great leader. There's a lot of positives, and uh-huh. I don't know if Alabama's kicking themselves the fact that he's not there because Tua is. But he's really good.
Hey, we are set. We are ready. College football Saturday, the annual OU Texas, and breaking it all down. Getting us ready. James Hale, my buddy. Total Sports, KREF, SportsTalk1400.com. Check him out. Also, Patreon you, Die Hard Sooner Reports. Have a wonderful weekend. Safe travels, Jay, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, my friend.
All righty. See ya.
You bet. That, of course, was James Hale, Total Sports, KREF. Give him a follow online, and also check him out at sportstalk1400.com. A big thank you to all of our guests in our lineup. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.